here to them, starting at 6:30. Eva, it was supposed to be Friday, but I tried to tell them Friday would be pretty hard, so they switched it to Thursday. He contacted me before we went to convention, so I did a kind of like sort of forgot it. But we're supposed to be serving with them tomorrow night. I'm going crazy to see, but if not, hopefully so, I can only sing a couple songs. Amen. Also, let's keep Bishop William in prayer. Bishop William Wade's downtown. He's in the Westchester Hospital. We had an acute stroke. And so let's keep him in prayer. Pastor Harper and Sister Harper, Dr. Sister Harper, and Stephanie White, who went down Sunday, and possibly some other ministers from the area who went out after church to visit. Let's just stand and say a prayer now. I did speak to Bishop and one service for Evangelist Hayes Butler today as well. And so let's keep them, continue to keep them in prayer. Bishop said, I called to see if he needed. He said, just keep praying. So let's just pray for those days. Heavenly Father, Lord, we don't take anything for granted. But first of all, we say thank you. Lord, thank you for our life, helping our strength. Thank you for how good you've been. And Lord, we lift up Bishop Leon Williams at this time, oh God. Lord, you are in full control of all circumstances. Lord, we ask you to take full control of his life. We ask you to bless in the name of Jesus. We know the prognosis doesn't look good. Lord, but you're Jehovah Rapha, God, our healer. Lord, we ask you to let your healing mercy restore. Darn his body from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Even as a woman had an issue, but Lord, we're reaching out to touch you right now. So that you can touch, heal, and deliver. Lord, we lift up Bishop Hayes, Evangelist Hayes, during this time of bereavement. Lord, we just ask you to have thine own way. And we thank you for how good you've been. Lord, every time our foolish hearts are melting to complain, give us a mind to say, thank you, Jesus. Lord, give us a mind to praise you. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say, in Jesus' name, amen. We just thank the Lord tonight for being in the house of prayer. Genesis. Now, I've been working on this since Tuesday, but I had a zillion and one interruptions today, so it's going to be a whole lot of typos. For instance, on the front cover, and I don't know if your front cover is going right, mine is wrong. It has Rebecca as R-A-B. It should be R-E-B. All right, so I do know how to spell. I didn't have time to use a spell checker, because if I would have just looked at it, it would have shown me that it was wrong. Amen. But we had so many different things going on today. We're running in and out. So even as we go through the notes, you want to see some things, probably the thoughts weren't finished. Because they call me, when I do stuff, I have to stay in the hole because I don't plan it. So they call me in the middle of the thought. When I come back, the thought's not finished. All right, so be mindful of that. And nevertheless, we do the best that God's going to give us to the best of our ability. And we know it's hot. But guess what? It could be a lot higher. Amen. We know it's bad, it could be a lot worse. So we just thank God. At least we do have some air conditioning to cool down some. Amen. So let's turn to Genesis, the 26th chapter. We're going to read verses 1. I don't think we're getting to 12, but we read verses 1 through 11 of Genesis, the 26th chapter. Yeah, if we would look at Genesis 26 chapter, as we read it, remember the 25th chapter, talking about Jacob and Esau, Isaac and Rebekah. Then we go to the 26th chapter, there's no mention of Esau and Jacob, because it's not in chronological order. Okay, so if we all just stand quickly, we'll read these verses, and then we go right to our notes again. We just thank God today that God is a keeper. Thank God for being a way maker, and no matter how bad your situation is, be assured it can always be worse. And the Bible says that everything has better than what? So we ought to praise him, and in everything we ought to give thanks. For this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning us. Amen. So we ought to thank him, no matter how good, no matter how bad, just thank him. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Actually, I saw my pastor, I forget her first name, New York City on the 3rd today. She's going to be 101 years old this year. September 23rd, she'll be 101 years old. Last year they had a clip of her, and she was still preaching. She was in a wheelchair, but she was killing. And then she got that Lord started touching so hard, she started shouting in the wheelchair. Amen. You talk about somebody who wanted to have a mind to praise the Lord. We can walk and talk and do everything else. We ought to be praising Him. Amen. She had her legs up and down in that wheelchair. She was praising Him. She said, I'm not feeling sorry for myself. God has been too good. She said, God's going to take me when He's ready and when I'm ready. Amen. But nevertheless, we do praise the Lord. 26th chapter of Genesis, verse 1. And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. So that right there gives you a clue. Amen. That takes you back to a time of Abraham and his life, his son. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go down into Egypt. Right. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice. Why is he blessed? Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of that place asked him of his wife. And he said, she is my, we are almost repeating, his father's wife. For he feared to say, she is my wife. Lest, said he, the men of that place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window, and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. Now saidest thou, she is my sister. And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, What is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might likely have lain with thy wife. Thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And they may go ahead and bless the reading word in the church there. Bless the Lord. So we find that, as I said, it's not in chronological order because there's no mention of Esau and of Jacob. And we know that if the king Abimelech took Rebecca into his house, where would the children have been? So let's be mindful of that. So it's not in chronological order, okay? So let's go to our notes. And there's a whole lot within this chapter. See, like Isaac is almost mirroring his father. Right? Some of the same events, when there was a famine in the land, Abraham went down into Egypt. Right? Abraham went down to Egypt. Now there was a famine in the land. Isaac is headed to Egypt, but God stops him. Right? So let's go to our introduction. Introduction to Genesis. Genesis 26 interrupts our chronological order because chapter 25 was about Jacob and Esau. This chapter likely occurred before the twins were born, is one of the many examples of chronological rearrangement in the Bible. In the days of Abraham, Egypt was a place of certain sustenance and provision, whereas Gerar was famine affected as he brought in the days of Isaac. If Isaac is to obey God, he must choose to travel from famine to famine. He's in Hebron. The reason I gave you the map is so that you can see where Hebron and Gerar was. Because as I said, is on his way to Egypt, but God stops him. And you know, let's pay particular attention to this. God stops him on his way, and there's a what in the land? Famine. And God tells him, he said, now I want you to stay in the famine. But why? Because God's going to use Isaac's life to show his glory. And as we follow this, we'll see. Amen. So God tells him to stay in Gerar. He said, do not go down to Egypt. We'll find as we go. If Isaac is to obey God, he must choose to travel from famine to famine and trust that God will. Trust that God will. You know, sometimes as I'm studying, I say, you know, if we could just have the mindset of the patriarchs and just trust and believe that God will supply our needs, even in hardship, we should trust and believe that God will supply our needs. But the thing we have to do is we have to give the walk of God in order to obey God. So it's important that we hear the voice of God. I want to stay behind the pole. So we have to hear the voice of God. Are you with me? Genesis 26 is the central character of the long portion of the Talmud between of the generations. This portion is key to the extension of God's plan for Israel and is what? Irrevocable covenant. Aren't you glad it's irrevocable? Because the covenant is irrevocable, we have a right to salvation and the tree of life. This chapter plays a pivotal role in explaining the continuity of Abraham's covenant as it is confirmed, not reestablished, through Isaac, and will be confirmed again through Jacob, not as a result of either Isaac or Jacob. Now, so we talk about Isaac and Jacob. Now, remember, if you, all the Bible students know this. In the days of Abraham, there was a famine. In the days of Isaac, there was a in the days of Jacob, there was a famine. Right? Because Joseph was in Egypt when the famine happened. So Abraham went down into Egypt for the famine. Isaac was headed to Egypt for the famine. And Jacob went to Egypt for the famine. The question is, why would God allow an ungodly country to be flourishing and blessed and allow the country where its people are to be in famine? Think about that. Right? So, now we know Egypt is a representation of what? The world. So every time God's people got in trouble, they went to Egypt, which is a type of the world. Why? I don't know. I'm just doing it as a fool for thought, right? Because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. They all were heading to Egypt, but God stops Isaac. He said, no, I don't want you to go to Egypt. Get ahead of myself. We go through that and let us wait a little later. Okay, are y'all with me in that part?
Yeah.
All right. So it says, Isaac or Jacob's character, but as a result, Abraham's having accepted God's word through complete trust in him. Something got cut off there. That's one of my interruptions, so we don't worry about that. This is why the text reminds us that it is as a consequence of Abraham's trust in God, that God had passed the covenant promise on to Isaac. It was because what Abraham what? Trusted God. So in order for Isaac to have the promise, Isaac also had to
trust
God. In order for Abraham, for Jacob to have the promise, he had to
trust.
That's why he was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Because they trusted God. Can we say hallelujah? This is what attention reminds us is that as a consequence of Abraham trusting God, that God passed the covenant promise to all the Isaac, Jacob, and the ethnic children of Israel. Chapter 25 ended with Esau despising his birthright and the priestly role as the head of the family. Thus, Esau rejected the faith of his father Abraham. That's why God, the Bible says in Hebrews 12 chapter, be not as a profane fornicator. That's what you call Esau. Right? You know why? Because Esau, it wasn't a natural fornication, but it was a spiritual fornication. Right? Because what he did is he wedded or he hooked up with a false God instead of trusting in the true God. So we don't want to practice spiritual fornication. Amen. We have to let God be God. We say hallelujah. is the sin of Esau emphasized here? Why is it so important to distinguish him as the one who grieves his parents? The answer is found in the establishment of the covenant of Abraham. The righteous line of Abraham will benefit from the trust of, so trust, Abraham trusted in who? So the righteous line is going to benefit from Abraham's trust. Now remember, there's always two seeds when you're dealing with God's people initially. There's the good seed, and then is the evil seed. There's two seeds when you're dealing with it. Just like we read Genesis 3:15, and God talks about the seed, and how the foot of the seed is going to crush the head of the serpent. There's two seeds. So throughout the Bible, you will find there's always going to be the good, godly seed, and then there's going to be the ungodly seed. Amen. Tonight, I just want to be in the good, godly seed. How about you? Amen. I don't want to be in the ungodly seed. Right. This text is not the sword of Abraham with either name, but a confirmation of the Abrahamic covenant. This is the third account of his kind, the former two being those enacted by Abraham and Sarah. However, this is a story that is unique to Isaac and Rebekah, and it is similar to the account of Abraham and Sarah. And what makes it unique is, like I said, Isaac was headed to Egypt, but God stops him. I thank God we can hear God's voice. And that should be all our prayers daily. Lord, help me to hear your voice. Because we can follow in the pattern of all those that have gone before us. But how many know we serve God as case specific?
Amen.
God meets all my needs individually. So one of the biggest things we can ever make as a child of God is say, well, if they did it, then I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it unless you speak to God first.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord with
all.
With what?
All
your heart and lean not to your own.
Your
own understanding, but that's you are. Right? Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he will direct our path. He said, now if you think you got all the answers, be not wise, but I don't lie. We fear the Lord and depart from evil. So it's important that we learn to hear from God personally for ourselves. Amen. Let's continue. The similarities in the three accounts do not blind us to the divergent details. For example, Rebecca, unlike Sarah, is not taken from her husband. The former wells have been stopped up and the covenant reneged upon by the Philistine and King Abimelech. By the way, the name Abimelech refers to the name of the kings of the Philistine, just as Pharaoh refers to the kings of Egypt. Well, you want to see Abimelech, Abimelech, and then we go to Judges, you see Abimelech, so you say, how long does Abimelech live? It's just like a title. Like the Caesars, Augustus Caesar, Julius Caesar. So these are titles, right? But they aren't the same person. Are we looking at that?
Amen.
All right. Well, this Abimelech would have to be quite old if he was there for Abraham. And now Isaac, we know he's almost 60 years old because he has his children when he's 60. Right? So this Abimelech would have lived a long time. This was the same Abimelech. Amen. Abimelech is most probably a Philistine dynasty title, with this being a different king from the one who had met Abraham. This can be proven as this Abimelech is mentioned 97 years after the encounter that Abraham had with Abimelech in chapter 20. Add to this Abimelech's agitation in verses 10 and 11. Which is clearly a response to the precedent already known from the warning of the former Abimelech. Amen. Genesis 27 said, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. Remember, Abraham says she's my sister, and God came to Abimelech by night and dream. He said, that's a man's wife. He said, if you touch her, I kill you. That's serious. Right? Because God did not want to see which was supposed to come to Abraham through Sarah to be born, all right? So this is what this is dealing with. And he said, now, even though he told you that with his sister she's his wife, but he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore it not, know thou that thou shalt. You know what? Now, remember this, because this is one very important part And we get David in the story with his uncle Abimelech. He said, you shall surely die, thou and all that are thine. If you don't restore her, he said, you shall surely die. Therefore, Isaac, whose circumstances similar to those experienced by Abraham, learns to trust God. He could not go on his father's salvation. He had to have a personal relationship with God. So what God is doing in this chapter is he's working on Isaac's personal relationship. He's working on Isaac to show, make sure Isaac has trusted God for himself. Not only do you have to trust the Isaac, but you have to also hear and obey him. So God is working on Isaac's relationship. Yes, we've heard of Abraham, but now I have to come to God of Isaac. So in order for me to come to God of Isaac, Isaac has to display a certain amount of trust, a certain amount of faith, and most of all, obedience to God. A lot of us have faith in God, a lot of us say we trust God, but how many of us truly obey God? That's important. How do we obey God? As we go further, you know, through this week, next week, we'll see that God blessed Abraham because of obedience, and he also blessed Isaac because of obedience. And as we went on Sunday, he blessed Jacob because of obedience. Right? And this short story, remember, in obedience, it doesn't always look like situations are going to be favorable when God tells you to do something. Right? Sometimes you go to do something and fear will instantly grip all of us because it doesn't seem like the situation is going to be favorable. But trust me, if God sends you, as he told Jacob, he said, if you go, I will be what? With you. And if God is with us, he'll deliver us out of every situation. Amen. But God needs to know, are you going to trust me enough to do what I said do? Or are you going to walk according to your own understanding? And that's the greatest challenge to us in the church today. We have so many mixed messages from everywhere. But what does God say to you? Amen. As I said, I don't like the references a lot. But when I left my former church, well, because God told me to leave, right? That's all we need to know. When I was questioned as to why you're leaving, I said, well, God told me to leave. They said, well, God didn't tell the leadership. I said, well, you need to go talk to God about that. You understand what I'm saying? Because God talked to me. Listen, I lost a whole lot. Reputation, name. But who's I supposed to obey? God or? Well, that's the challenge that we have in our spirit in our lives today. We have people put so much pressure on us. Tell us what God didn't say. If you're in prayer and God speaks to you and he confirms it through his word, that's what God spoke. Now you have to make a decision. What are you going to do with what God told you to do? Amen. I got to tell my wife, I got called to so many meetings the last 2 weeks I was there. I was wondering if people could meet that much. Trying to say, they say, I'm not trying to talk you out of it. I said, well, why don't you keep talking to you? It's only you meet me trying to talk me out of it. Honestly. So then I got to the point and said, well, God would never tell you to do something that he wouldn't tell the pastor first. I ain't never read that in my Bible. I know what God said to me. And when God speaks loud and clear, you know it's God. And what I'm saying, a lot of our lives, God has spoken loud and clear, but we've allowed other voices to have a greater impact on us. Why? Because we have not learned yet to fully trust God. And God won't bless you in your entirety until you learn to trust him and obey him. So it's more than just trust. A lot of us believe in God, but how many of us are walking in obedience to God? Amen? So when God said, I'm going to give you this church, we had 8 doors that closed. We kept going. Why? Because God said he's going to give us the church. So we couldn't listen to all the bankers that said no. Because God said yes. And remember, God always has 3 answers to prayer. Yes, no, not yet. So when we were pursuing, he didn't say no, he just said not yet. Well, in all of our lives, we haven't got the promises that we know God has spoken to us because we quit, because we turned a not yet into a no. Amen. You pursue God. Remember the Bible says, if you pursue God properly, he will take the crooked things and make it straight. He'll take the rough places and he'll make his glory. Let's get back to this. Amen. So therefore, I, through circumstances similar to those experienced by Abraham, learned to trust God for himself. This is an important illumination of the generational trust and faith in God. The parent must manage all the instruction of God, and the child must, us as parents, must pass on the instructions of God. And our prayer is that the children will respond and obey. Salvation comes to both family and the individual, but everyone must choose God freely. You have to choose God freely for yourself. Maybe some of us are in spiritual messed up binding pits because we're not choosing God for ourselves. We allow other people to have a greater influence on us than God. If you have to make a decision all by yourself and it's just you and God, guess what? You got more than enough. Just obey God because God knows how to turn every situation around in his own time. We must personally choose to trust and have faith in God. We must what? Personally choose to trust and have faith in God. The husband can't have it for the wife. The wife can't have it for the children. And the adult parents can't have it for the adult children. Because once you reach the age of accountability, you have to answer to God for yourself. Amen. No coattail salvation. You got to serve God fully for yourself. God has promised to them if we want the blessings that God has promised to them who hear and obey him, just as all the patriarchs of the covenant by faith had to choose, as Isaac did or as Esau what? Rejected. So Isaac chose to Esau rejected. So skip that. All right, let's go to Genesis 26:1. And there was a famine, and if the word for famine is Hebrew word Rahab, which means hunger in the land. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. So God is right there, he's drawing down. The time we read this, our mind should all let him do what? Go back to who? Abraham. Right, go back to Abraham. When God uses words, as I was studying, remember the Bible says, just to show you how your mind has to go back, you can't always stay where you are. Remember when Jonah was fleeing from the Lord, he went down to where? Joppa. Right? When Jonah was fleeing from the Lord, he went down to Joppa. Right? Because he was born in obedience to God. Because he went to Joppa because he said, the Ninevites were not worthy of salvation. They weren't worthy of deliverance. Right? Now, when you go to Acts, in the 10th chapter, at least the 10th chapter, yeah, the 10th chapter, the Bible talks about Peter who's on the rooftop around noon time. The Lord comes down to him with a sheep, said, Peter, rise, Peter, stay thee. Peter said, Lord, nothing has ever touched my lips. Where was Peter at? He was in Joppa. So when we use the term Joppa with Peter, it all actually goes back to Jonah. Right? Because Jonah said the Ninevites weren't worthy. So now when Peter is going in Joppa and the Lord is letting down the sheep, he's telling you, don't be like Jonah and say they're not worthy. And then he sees them do what? Cornelius' house was the first Gentile. So that's how you have to make the connection. All right? When you read it, you make the connection. Does everybody get that? Okay, so let's keep going. We see that Isaac is experiencing the same test of faith and trust that his father Abraham faced in Genesis 12:10, where it says, and there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. I want to point out that Abraham went to Egypt, a perpetual adversary to the people of God, a type of the world in opposition to the promises of God. Egypt is diametrically opposed to God, but God allows Abraham, who has the promise to go down into Egypt during the famine, and Isaac was also on his way to Egypt, but the Lord stopped him and had him stay in the land of the Philistines, who were the perpetual adversary to the people of God, in opposition to the promised land to the people of God. The Philistines, which is Hebrew, I think, Philistine, emigrants, that means emigrants or wanderers, of the inhabitants of the land of Philistia. Blessed, land of sojourners, land of wonders, and of Philistia. The word Philistia is derived of, Philistina is derived of Philistia. We turn this on in because it's going to be in. But back then, this same Philistia is a city. Philistia is the name of city. So what the adversary of the conflict started all the way back in Genesis. And it's been perpetual since, as we continue to see. Compare Exodus 15:14. People shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine, which is the Palestine. Philistines and Palestinian origins are from Pelesh, which means rolling, that is migratory, Pelesian, a region of Syria, Palestina, Palestine, Philistia, and the Philistines. The Philistines are people who are not indigenous to Canaan, who gained control of the coastal plain, or what are now Israel and Gaza for a time. So the Philistines are not the original, they're not native to Canaan. They were wanderers, they were sojourners, they traveled there. Okay, that's what they named and mean. They were travelers, wanderers. According to the ancient Egypt record of the period, which is the first written mention of them, the Philistines reached the region in around the 12th century BC, which the archaeologist record seems to confirm. Of Abraham and Isaac's time are the modern day confirmed. Of Abraham and Isaac's time are the modern day Palestinians. What is by what most of the favors? The Philistines of Abraham and Isaac days are the modern-day Palestinians. Modern-day Palestinians don't see themselves as descendants of the biblical invaders, but they are named for the Philistines just the same. Once again, the land of promise forced the beneficiaries of the covenant to move so as to escape the effects of a famine, just as it had in Abraham's day. That's in Genesis 12:10, which we just read. Only difference was that Abraham had not been forbidden to go down to Egypt, and Isaac was now being directed by God, as we will see in verse 2. Philistines, this tribe of people was originally called this tribe of people who originally sailed the Mediterranean Sea became fierce enemies of Israel when they settled along the southwest coast of the Palestinian. The lion will be what? Philistine. Saul constantly fought against who? The Philistine. David constantly fought against who? The Philistine. David was of the tribe of Judah. Amen. David represented the seed of Israel. So as it was back then, so it still is today. Right? They're still fighting the Palestinians. But why are they fighting? The land is not theirs. God gave the land to Israel. It's just as you see, the study, you see, the conflict has been from the beginning. It didn't just start, amen? Let's skip down to, I don't think, actually, let me read the latter part of this, because this is really important too. There's a spiritual relationship, a strong bond between the Philistines and the Edomites. And we know the Edomites are who? The sons of Esau, which we will see later. And let's go to verse 2. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not now into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Amen. God forced Isaac to trust in his ability to provide and not to do the natural thing that everybody else would be doing in going down to Egypt during a famine. Egypt was a place of certain sustenance and provision. Whereas Gerar was as a famine affected as Hebron. If Isaac is to obey God, he must choose to travel from what? Famine to famine. Amen? And trust that God will provide for his needs. God would allow Isaac to go down into Egypt as he had permitted his father Abraham to do and his son Jacob to do during the famine. If you read Genesis 42, it's about Jacob goes to Egypt. Okay, so let's just skip that. You can read that in your spare time. It already went to Abraham, right? They already met Abraham. And this one second chapter just saying that Jacob also went to Egypt, and all of Israel was in Egypt. That's where they were for 430 years in bondage. By the way, keep in mind that Canaan was the land that God had promised to Abraham and his descendants. But it seems as though Canaan is experiencing the hardship of famine, and that Egypt is constantly the place where the prophecy turns to in time of trouble. I just want to bring this out for a point of emphasis. Amen. And actually, emphasis and discussion, does anyone have any thought on that? It's curious. It says, why, if Canaan is the land of promise, why do they have so many families? When God said it's the land of promise. In Egypt, God rejects, but they have all of the sustenance provisions. We all think of that when we do it next week. It says, the Lord appeared unto him when he was at Gerar. This is a what? Physical appearance. When you cross it, this appeared, when you use word study, it wasn't just a vision, but it was a physical appearance of him. Okay? The Lord told him, go not down into Egypt. So this is how serious God was about it. He didn't send an angel, he came himself. He told him, don't go down into Egypt, as his father had done in the light case, and where Isaac ought to have gone, and the rather, as that was a fruitful country. The Lord appeared unto him and charged him not to go there, partly to try his faith in him, and dependence on his providence for support in the time of famine, and partly lest he should think of continuing there and be unmindful of the promise of the land of Canaan to Abraham's seed. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. And this is where it really is really interesting, because it seems in English, this is where you have to do word study and cross word. In English, it just seems pretty plain. You go, what? Just be in the land. But God has a greater, deeper, hidden message in this when we do our word study, okay? Even the land of Canaan, which he was now about to give him on account of the promise of it to Abraham and his seed, and to renew it to him and to his seed. This has a much deeper spiritual meaning than what appears. The Hebrew word dwell is Strong's 879-791, which is shekan. Promptly, to dwell, abide, and join is underscored nearness and closeness more than loftiness, use of God's mighty glory. It's also a word to mean God will manifest his presence. So when he says dwell there, God says, stay there, because I'm going to manifest my presence, even in the land. Right, so that's what dwell means. God, it doesn't mean just stay there. God says, but stay there, because I'm going to do something great. And when we get down later in the chapter, we're going to see God does something great. Because when you get around the 12th verse, right, when we get to the 12th verse, this is just to confirm that he's going to do it. When you get to the 12th verse, the Bible says that in the land of famine, Isaac sowed seed and received a hundredfold. In the famine. Right? Because what God's telling you is that you stay around the unsaved, uncircumcised Philistines, because I'm going to use you to reveal my glory. And when you get down a little later, you're going to see what they did. They tell us, listen, your God has blessed you. You need to get away from us. Right? You're taking everything just like you did with Jacob. Right? You got to get away from us. Right? Because God manifests his glory. So when he's telling Isaac, I know your father went to Egypt, but I don't want you to go to Egypt, because I'm going to use you to bring in a new revelation. And the revelation is going to be for the Philistines and King Abimelech. I'm going to use you to reveal my glory. I'm going to use you to reveal my presence. Now, the natural mind says, how are you going to reveal something that is, you sent me from one family land to another family? How are you going to reveal it? Because God does what he wants to if we move in obedience. Amen? All right? Are you with me on that part? All right, so, where? use of God's mighty glory manifest present as the mercy seat in the tabernacle in the temple. Shekinah is preeminently use of God's abiding manifest presence at the tabernacle. Remember when they go to the tabernacle, God will show up. Amen. When we get to that at the next verse. The Lord is celebrating that he's going to use his family to manifest his glory, as we will see in verses 12 through 14. We won't get that tonight, but you can go read what God does in those verses before we get to the next week. Keep in mind that the Lord is telling Zion to be still and know. You know, that's a hard thing. When things don't look favorable, how many of us are to be still and know that he's God? Well, he said, be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted above. I'm going to be exalted above these fellows. I'm going to be exalted above the heathen. Amen. And I will be exalted in the earth. Psalms 46:10. The Lord is going to provide for Isaac in spite of the famine to manifest his glory, provided that Isaac dwells in the famine. So the key is, he had to what? Stay there. He couldn't leave, even though his mind doesn't believe. He had to do what? Stay in the famine. Are you all with me? Why? Because God says, stay in. Because if everybody in your right mind, he's like, why would I stay in a bad situation? You can stay in any situation as long as God's with you. Are you with me? As long as God is with you, you don't have to run, you don't have to move, because God is what? He's with you. Amen? Genesis 26:3. And he tells him, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. So first he says dwell, then he tells him to sojourn in the land. Alright? So now let's keep following for the deeper meaning. Sojourn is a Hebrew Strong 8:14-81 verb. Dwell as a newcomer, like a pilgrim migrating to a new land, a temporary or permanent residence with no original or inherited rights. He said, now I want you to stay in this land, even though you are a pilgrim, you're a stranger, you're passing through. He said, you really have no rights in this land. But I'm going to show you what I'm going to do with you if you sojourn in the land. You with me? What a mighty God we serve. Amen? Yet having more belonging and acceptance than the citizens of the land. He said, you don't have no rights, but I'm going to give you something. The citizens of the land don't even have. Why? Because I'm going to use you to manifest my glory. I'm going to use you to show my presence. Amen? It also relates to finding a permanent place to live, especially after being a wanderer or a because he was a wanderer. Right? This time he's trying to find a place for food because there's a famine. We must compare Psalm 51 and Psalm 61, 1 through 4, to really get the picture for what the Lord is saying in verses 2 and 3. Psalm 51 reads as follows. Lord, who shall abide? That's the word there. Okay, that means the sojourn is also the word there. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell, shake hand in thy? Oh, so we see sojourning and dwelling both in heaven with God's presence. In his tabernacle and in his holy hills. Now Psalm 61, 1 through 4 goes even deeper. This is David. He says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. For my heart is, oh, my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower for the enemy. He said, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the comfort of thy wings, said God. What the writer of the 61st Psalm realized is that the amount of grace that led him to the higher rock and afforded him such effectual shelter, so he exclaimed, I will gird in thy tabernacle forever, and gird sojourn. I will trust in the comfort of thy wings. He is there only as a... I was just there as a protection case. Because God was going to manifest his glory. So he said, stay here, but I'm going to still protect In the basement, when we follow God, our God can bless us. Amen. We don't have to figure out what God's going to do. He knows how to do it because he's God. Now, heard somebody say he's God all by himself. He is only there as a protected guest without any rights. Yet as sure as he is of being welcome, he is resolved that it shall be forever. In verse 7, he uses Yeshat, declaring with triumph and faith that he will abide before God forever. We must do a proper word study of verses 2 and 3 to understand the hidden spiritual message behind what the Lord is telling Isaac. And as I said earlier, it will be brought out fully in a few more verses. It is worth noting that Hebrew text says, I will give you the land of countries, which is the plural, which is Ha'atzarah, rather than simply saying, I will give you the land, which is a Arex. Right, so he said, he didn't say, I'm going to give you the land, but I'm going to give you the what? Plural lands. But they're only right now, they're in Iraq. But God said, if you stay here, what about manifest my presence and my glory? You're not going to just get where you are. He said, I'm going to give you everything around if you're obedient. Amen. How many want more than you got? It just be obedient. God said, I'm going to bless you with greater than what you have. But you have to be obedient in order for you to get the greater. Amen? Yes.
That's what I do.
I was actually talking about this part. What's coming to my mind is how we've been adopted into the body of Christ, and we are not the original Hebrews or Jewish or anything. So we really, it just reminds me, because we were the Gentiles, but now we are the Israel of God. Whereas in their regard, we don't have any legal rights because of how, you know, how we came to be Gentiles.
Yeah, we're
Gentiles.
We're going to get
there. But that's what's coming to my head.
We'll get to the Goyim for the Gentiles.
And so we have no legal right.
No legal right.
But then it talks about, but yet I will bless you in that greater than those.
Yes.
So how we are even greater blessed, and how that we are the bride of Christ,
yeah,
and they can only get in as the friend of the bride.
Yes.
So they don't even have that greater blessing that we have. We have no place except for
the Bible calls us really election. We are special. Election is special. And we don't have the birthright. We have no rights. But as you said, we will get to it later, probably not tonight, but we will get to it later. Amen. We get to the Gentiles or the Goyims. Okay? Alright, so it said, this makes it impossible to confuse the legitimacy of Israel's promised land made up of the lands of each of her yet to be born tribes. Right? Because they were not yet born. Now Genesis 26:4, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now the question is, how many seeds did he have?
Two, right?
Because he had Jacob and Esau. But he said, only one seed I'm going to choose. I'm going to bless the one seed, not in thy S-E-E-D-S, but in thy one seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. We knew that seed became who? Christ. Everybody was blessed. Everybody was elected, as she said, because of Christ. Amen. Faith with the decision to remain in the land of Israel in spite of the famine, rather than going to Egypt where the Nile River feed the rich crops of the Delta, Isaac, like Abraham before him, must choose to what? Trust God for the future fulfillment of his promises. Hebrews 11:9-10 tells us that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob what? Sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. By faith, as Hebrews 11:9-10 says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Abraham, the heirs of them are the same promise. For he looked for his city, which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. This repetition of God. God's former promise to Abraham is not a renewal of the promise, nor is it a new promise, rather it is the firm establishment of a generational promise and a precursor to the fulfillment of the generational covenant originally made with and through Abraham. This covenant is entirely reliant on who? God. Not on the deeds or misdeeds of his servant. God is simply saying to Isaac, who has yet to complete his faith journey, in case you had any doubt, I reminded you that I will keep my promises. The Hebrew word, I will arise, stand up, intended to convey God's active participation in the acknowledgement of his creation and his purpose for his servants. This same phrase is used frequently in the Genesis creation account. The Hebrew zeroth for seed is singular, but it can be understood in Hebrew also to denote the sum of a man's progeny, and in a plural sense, it thus lends itself to ambiguity. Paul the Apostle interprets the Genesis 22:18 text saying, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. But he wrote in Galatians 3:16-18, now to Abraham, to his seed, were the promises made. He said, not as to seed, as of many, but as of what? One, and to thy seed, which is, this is what he was saying now, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Once again, the latter portion of verse 4 states, and I will give unto Uzi thy seed, not as in EPS, but thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Nations is a Hebrew word, 1471, goyim, a people, typically referring to who? The Gentiles. Goyim were the non-Jews or unbelievers, viewed as outside of God's covenant. Goyim are the Gentile nation, Israel, the promised people, I am, are prophesied in scripture to be joined together as what? One people of God. That is Jewish and Gentile believers in who is the zero, who is the seed from every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation. All right? And I think we're finished. We're not going to go to verse 5, but finish here first. All right? So that we don't rush through this. People and nation reference. Ephesians 2:12-19 reads. Verse 12 says, that at the time you were without Christ, being what? We were outsiders. We had no rights. We had nothing. We were considered to be the dogs of the earth. We had no rights. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the what? Covenants of promise. Having no hope. When you're outside of Christ, you don't have no hope. So he wants a hope, you better get in Christ. Right? Outside of Christ, there's no hope. And without God, so some people try to figure out why they don't have the hope. They don't have Christ. They don't have God, so they don't have no hope. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15, if our hope is in this world only, in Christ in this world only, we're all men most miserable. That means we're looking for a future with Christ. It's not just now, but what is he going to do in the future as well? Okay? But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were, who were far off, the Gentiles. And are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made
one.
God said, when I look at the Jew, and when I look at the Gentile, they are
one.
They are one. There's no separation. And has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Right? Remember the scripture said when Jesus was crucified, when he died, he said the bell was rent in twain. Because the only one at that time that could go into the Holy of Holies was the high priest. So God ripped just to let you know it was God. Because nobody else could reach that. So God said, now I just removed the little old partition that separated. So now you become holy to the broken grace. So you can find grace and work grace and mercy will help in the what? Time. You don't have to have someone else go to you. God said, I took down that partition. Before the Jews, but when Jesus came, the promise he said, I took away. Let's see, I took away that. Yeah, come to Jesus. Aren't you glad you can go to him for yourself? He says, having abolished in his flesh, the what? Enmity. Even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances. For to make in himself a plain one new man, so made he peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God and by the cross. Having slain the enmity thereby, he came and preached peace to you which were. Remember Peter said, the witness of the Lord our God shall fall even them that are. He was talking about the Gentiles. He said, well, what's the far off? Some of us had no rights. We still don't have rights, but we entered it by faith. Right? Grace through faith are you saved, not in yourselves, but it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank you, Lord. And came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were not. For through him we both have access by. You only have access by one spirit unto the Father. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can get to the Father but by me. And therefore ye are no more and foreigners. Right? Because remember Isaac, he's a stranger, he's a foreigner. But if God says, I'm going to manifest my glory, then I'm going to do something with your seed. And through your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Right? So what was he saying? He was saying there's a future seed that's going to take away everything and just separate. He said, no more strangers and foreigners, but what? We're now what? Lord, thank you. And of the household of God, Christ is the promise. He's the zero. He's the promised seed of Genesis 26, in which all nations, the guardian of the Gentile law, non-Jews, of the earth will be blessed. Amen. That's good. Let's stop there. And with the help of the Lord, we'll take up next week. Just as a teaser for next week, right? So Isaac, we know that he tells that Rebecca is his sister. Let's just go to, I just want to show you something in verse 12. Right? So God tells him to stay in the family. Right? I've been talking this long time. When God tells you to do something, what? Doesn't make sense. When God tells you to do something that really doesn't add up, it doesn't make sense. There's a famine, and everybody's trying to help God. Why would we stay in the famine? All right? Well, let's read verses 12, and let's read the belief verse for next week, just as a tease. Let's let you know how, when God said, you stay there, I'm going to manifest my presence, I'm going to manifest my glory. I'm going to use you to prove to these unsaved, uncircumcised Philistines that they are the God in Israel. Right, and there's God's presence, it said. So let's go to verse 12. It said, then Isaac sold land in the famine. That doesn't make sense, right? It's a famine. Who's going to be sowing in the famine? You know what? Genesis 26, 12. All right. So it said, he sold in the land and received in the 100-fold and what? The Lord. That's, wait a minute, why? Because he's obedient. God told him to stay. Now let's keep reading. And the man went great and went forth and grew until he became. God is just magnified. Right? Did he say stay? He said, dwell, and I'm going to manifest my presence through you. So now he's standing there, and the man is becoming what? Very great. Alright? He said, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds, great stores of servants, and the Philistines. God's blessing. He's still envying him, right? And it talks about all the wells that he did, right? Then let's just skip down to verse 27. The same one. So God is not magnifying the way in the sight, just to show you about the dwelling and the sojourn of God, manifesting his presence and his glory. Now let's go down to verse 27. It says that Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, saying ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that what? Seeds in the desert, right? But God said, he stayed in the desert and planted seed. Then when the seed began to grow and it's a hundredfold, they said, wait a minute, this is not normal. So guess what? The Lord has to be, the Lord is with thee, all right? And we said, let there now be an oath between us, even between us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee. He said, listen, you are too great now. You came here small, but God has magnified you. You're greater. He said, that thou would do. So we say God is with you. He said, that God has blessed you from earth. But how did he get this in the famine? Because he did what?
Amen.
So some of us might feel as though we're in a famine. We might feel as though we're in a drought. We might feel as though everything is against us. But plant your seed in the famine. As long as God is with you, you have manifested. And then the unsaved will look at you and say, whoa, God has to be with them. Because how can you reap in a famine? How can you reap in a drought? Because God said, if you need to obey my voice, I'm going to magnify you in my presence. Amen. All right, listen, do we have any questions? Comments? This is quite natural. All right, I know it's 8:30, y'all don't know if you're honest, but y'all don't know. Amen. We just say, if you have a question, thank God for sending our two visitors into that. Y'all still coming Saturday, right?
Amen.
All right. Doug brought them over. Last week, they've been coming around, so we thank God for them. Amen. If we have no comments, no questions, let us all stand. Is there anyone that needs prayer tonight? You know, when I read this, I got excited. I was excited. I said, Lord, just be with me in the family. I mean, want God to bless you in the family. Well, God has blessed you in the family. People know, say, this is not normal. The only way you can be that blessed is the Lord has to be what? With you. Those color signs in the beginning, they would, remember, when we got a little later, Abimelech tells them, little lady, he said, listen, leave Isaac and his family alone. He said, anybody touch them, I'll kill you. Then God magnifies him so great, he said, Isaac, don't you kill us. Why? Because he's obedient to God. There's nothing like serving and worshiping God and staying faithful and truly God. And do we have anyone who needs prayer? We don't have prayer. Remember tomorrow night for those that can't make it, we will be in Jerusalem at 6:30 for their camp meeting. So we want to encourage as many to come out as we can. And I did make it Sunday because I kind of slipped my mind until I saw Pastor Harper on Sunday. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your ways of past finding out. Lord, we thank you for your truth and your word. Lord, we thank you for the way to lead, the way to direct, the way to guide. Lord, as always, we pray for greater anointing to be in this place. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus to touch the lives of those to come in so they won't leave and be the same. Lord, we ask you to send in the harvest of souls to be saved.